For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Pink Pony Club, I'm gonna keep on doing the popcorn culture song about the Pink Pony Club.
Pink Pony Club.
Closing time. Was that a beep?
Was that a chirp?
Was that a chirp?
It can't be.
It's probably getting all worn out because it's been beeping nonstop here lately.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I bet that's what it is. It's like, as far as I can tell, when a smoke detector goes off, it uses like most of the battery.
Yeah.
For some reason.
For some reason.
It's like, we got to scream, I guess, for fire, but it still doesn't seem like it would take that much battery to make that much sound.
I scream, you scream, we all scream for fire.
I scream, you scream, we all scream for fire. That's pretty good.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Dude, we are back in the chairs. I was like filling out my to-do list this morning and it was 14 days since the last entry. And I was like, oh my gosh, has it been 14 days since we were in the office?
It has been such a long period of time. Like the tour that we just got back from, it was 11 days.
Yeah.
But somehow it feels like that 11 is really 14. And in my mind, 11 is like 1 week, but in reality, it's more than a week and a half. It's been very bendy.
It's been weird. And because we had one Monday and then 4 days off, then the weekend, then 4 more days on the road.
Yes.
And then that made us get home on a Thursday, and then we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and now it's today.
And now we're back
on Monday.
And we did it. Goodness gracious. Just in one word, give me your take on tour.
Oh, fun?
Ooh. I was going to say spectral amazing.
Oh, that's a pretty good word too.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I don't even know if it's a word.
Okay, we're using made up words. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Can you make up a word?
Spider-Man.
My backup word was Cuisinart.
Cuisinart.
I don't know why.
Cuisinart. What is that? Is that like the frozen food?
Cuisinart. Do they make like the little, oh man, why can't I think of what they're called? They're like
the kids' cuisine. That's
kids'
what I was
cuisine.
Thinking.
Oh, you're man. Right. Cuisinart makes like small appliances, maybe.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Cuisinart. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like, it's like an appliance. Okay. I was thinking kids' cuisine, not cuisine art.
Right.
Cuisinart.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember a period of time in college where I was getting into like cooking, watching the Food Network for the first time. And I, one year for Christmas, was so excited because I got like my first blender and crock pot and toaster. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am an adult.
I'm a capital adult.
Yes. I don't think I've ever been more delighted. Appliances are, well, like those particular appliances are so reasonably priced.
Like I remember after me and Beth got engaged, it was December 5th. And then we went up to our grandparents for Christmas and they had gotten us the KitchenAid stand mixer.
Oh.
That was like a real moment. It was like, wow, we have the KitchenAid stand mixer. We are adults now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do love my KitchenAid stand mixer.
Oh, it's the best.
I desperately want to get like more attachments for it.
Yeah.
Like maybe one that can like grind up like tree limbs, you know? So it's like, you know, you need a wood chipper, just
that would be great because then you could like more easily compost stuff right there in the kitchen.
Right there in the kitchen. You know? Yeah, like a compost tool.
Because so many things, like you throw them in the compost and it's like, yeah, they'll get there. But it's always like the more you can beat it up ahead of time, the faster it'll get there.
Right.
You know? So sometimes I'm like, well, like I'll I'll crack an egg and then I'll get the egg out and then I'll be like, now I got to crunch up the shell even more to put it in the composter.
Maybe you need to start making like garbage smoothies where you take all of it, you throw that in a blender. Maybe you have a special composting blender.
There's such a resistance there for me where I'm like, the whole point of having this is that it'll just break down and do its thing. And like, I can just do it and it's easy and that. But like, if I add an extra step, it's like I'm doing a chore to accomplish a different chore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. And then there's also like the eco mindset behind it, where it's like, if you're wanting to look at it like, okay, so I'm trying to be conscientious about the earth and my scraps and sustainability and reduce, reuse, recycle, type of thing. You know, the idea of how much progress you can actually make with your compost heap versus how much went into making your composting blender.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like I bet it would take you like 5 years of composting to achieve the environmental cost of making one blender.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
probably.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's like the, don't quote me on this, cause I don't actually know who wins the argument, but like there's like the plastic bags at the grocery store and the paper bags at the grocery store. And I feel like there's been like an argument before that, like, because the paper bags are easier to recycle, but require like more energy to make in the first place.
And most
people oftentimes don't reuse those either.
Right.
So it's like, but I have literally no idea. I shouldn't even be talking about it.
The real answer reusable canvas bags, right?
Yes, yes. Canvas bags. There you go.
Exactly.
Take your canvas bags.
Don't even just like loose leaf your groceries into the back and let them jostle around back there.
It's just, you know? Loose leaf it. Yeah.
Just have a raw handful of groceries sliding around your trunk.
I love it. I love it.
That's the way to do it.
Especially if you buy watermelons.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Especially if you've bought watermelons and eggs.
Yes.
And want to just have a big surprise back there.
You
want to
know another fun anecdote? Is that when I was first learning to drive a car, Dad was teaching me stick shift on our 1996 Isuzu Trooper, which I affectionately nicknamed Sue. Yeah, she was the literal best
car
ever.
Yeah, I know.
And I remember that like when we were driving around, Dad was trying to get me to take corners slower. And so his tip was like, just imagine you have a 5 gallon bucket that you're trying not to spill in like the way back.
Yeah.
Does everybody call it the way back? Our family has always called it the way back.
Well, because I think we called it the way back because like it once upon a time, I think you would have just said the way back, meaning like the trunk area.
Sure.
Right. But like then mom got the minivan and then you had the way. So you had three rows of seats. You had like front seats and then like the bench in the middle.
Yeah.
And then the bench in the back. And so if it was in the way back, that just meant the bench in the back. Whereas the way back meant the trunk.
Do you remember time in our life before we had the minivan?
Yes.
Would I remember time?
I don't know. I mean, I think mom just had like some like very, I remember having some sort of very like basic sedan kind of car.
Oof. No memories of that whatsoever.
No memory. Okay.
Anyway, how did I get here? Way back. Hold on. I can use my brain here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
But like the trooper would have been like the way back versus the back.
The trooper. Okay, this is what I was talking about. Yes. So in the way back. In the way back.
Yeah.
In the way back.
In the way back.
Dad was like, just pretend like you have a bucket full of water. And then as I went on to do like aquarium type stuff for my job, it was not uncommon that I literally had actual buckets of water in the way back.
Oh, right.
To the point where I was in college and after... Sue had gone on for Cash for Clunkers, which was like big SUVs bad.
Let's get
environmentally friendly vehicles instead.
Yeah,
so,
we'll pay you a lot for your old vehicles.
Yes.
Especially if you're going to trade them in for environmentally friendly vehicles, right?
Yes, exactly. Yep. And so Tyler ended up getting a car with that particular trade in. The Honda Fit.
Ronda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which had like 15 cup holders.
It did.
It was like the best laid out interior of a vehicle ever.
Yeah.
It was really, really nice. But at this point in time, I was driving like a rather old 1999 Mercedes C230 compressor, which was, it sounds a lot fancier than it was.
Yeah.
It was like a white sedan with a supercharger.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah,
you know, so I mean, like, you know, if you stepped on it just the right way, it kind of went.
There you go. You
know? Yeah, but it wasn't.
And believe you, us people listening at home, we sure tried to step on it the right way.
We sure did. We sure did. I swear, I convinced myself that there was this like half down pedal press, and then like, you know, I was like half feather all the way up, full feather. And,
yeah,
and full feather was like the rabbit speed, you know.
Right.
It was like woo
woo. Flying.
I feel like I'm doing such a bad job explaining this, but ultimately, at some point in time, in the back of my Mercedes, I could fit like 7 buckets of water.
Wow.
Which I did with extreme regularity.
Wow.
And, yes, and they would be, those things would be sloshing.
Man, you know, you were just getting water all over the back of your car,
just constantly. Well, and it was like, it was salt water too, so it was
really,
you know,
bad.
Yeah.
Just taking care of that car, man.
Well, I mean, it was my job. I had to do it. You know, I had to bring water to people.
And all you had was a Mercedes to do it.
In hindsight, like if I think back to what the customer must have thought, especially like in the modern era where I have to like hire people to like come and fix things at my house all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would say if the repairman pulled up in a Mercedes, opened the trunk, and pulled out 7 buckets of water. Like, I'd be like, what is happening? Like, and yet, that was me.
Did they not have lids? They were just open buckets?
No, they had lids. Okay. But and I swear to you, this is like, I don't know if you've ever taken, because I will occasionally do this. I like, if I get to the end of the night and I've got like a LaCroix water can that I've been like sipping on, and I go and place it upside down in my sink, I swear the next morning I can go and lift that can and there is still water that has not drained out of that can.
Right, because like some gets like trapped in the lip that gravity like had already put past the spill point.
It's like a strangely effective seal. Now, on the other hand, all of my Lowe's buckets, of which I had just like 40,000 dozen of, you would clamp these lids on, it would break your fingernails. Like, I mean, you had to get like calluses to like rip these bad boys off.
I mean, at Panera, the pickles would come in such buckets, and we had a literal like handle thing you had to use to take the lids off.
Yeah. Yes, it's a real thing. It's a real problem. And despite the fact that I had those lids on all of these buckets, I would show up everywhere and just the bottom of like the boot of my C230 compressor, always just covered in all sorts of water and spillage.
Yeah.
And then I was also using the luggage hooks that you're supposed to use to like, you know, put your fancy luggage in because, you know, it was a Mercedes.
Right.
I was literally using like crank straps to industrially crank these things so they wouldn't slosh around as much. They still would. Also, speaking of pickle buckets, I'm sure I've told this story before as well, but when I got to college, I was told that you were only allowed to have a 10-gallon aquarium, and I was like, well, who's gonna know? So I brought a 45-gallon aquarium.
Who can really tell? And they're like, how many gallons is it? You're like, 10.
Yeah, and the girl,
I guess that seems about right.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the buckets I had was a pickle bucket.
Yeah.
And dude, the pickle smell never leaves the pickle buckets.
Let me tell you the other thing about pickles in those buckets is that you would keep them in like you can put them in the freezer because to like keep it all cold and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then we would take them out when you needed new pickles. And whatever you're pickling stuff in doesn't freeze at normal temperatures.
Vinegar? Which,
yeah, vinegar. I don't know. Whatever it was, it could get below freezing.
Okay.
And that meant when you had to reach your hand in there to get the pickles, it was painful.
You had pickle hands.
Yes, not only did your hands smell like pickles, but they were at, like, it was so cold. And like immediately. It was terrible.
What how do you think you would feel? And I'm not saying that you ever would have done this.
Yeah.
But if you would put your foot in there.
Oh my God, I couldn't have done it, man.
Because I couldn't have done it. I know when we do our polar plunges, the feet are the
problem. You keep talking about these cold plunges and I want to do it so bad. And I'm like, but I can't, how do I get around the feet problem? I don't know. And like, I've done it before. I know I can make it through this, but like it's one of those things. I don't think I realized what a constant it was in my life. Like I remember one time being at the Jennings house.
Yeah.
And they had like a big, they had like a pool in their backyard and they had that like concrete pad around it or whatever.
Yeah.
Naturally. Like, yeah, you know. And I remember one day like walking out there and it was like freezing cold outside and I was barefoot and I stepped on it for like 2 steps and was like, oh my God, it's freezing cold out here. And I like immediately just turned around. And then I remember John walking out and then sprinting all the way to the barn in like the back corner of his yard and coming back also barefoot. And I was like, what on earth? How did you do that? And so I don't know. I feel like it's
so. This has been an issue for a while.
Well, I don't think I realized the height of the issue.
Right.
You know, to me, it's always been like, well, the ground is cold. It's really uncomfortable. Everyone experiences this way, and I'm like, I think it's just me. I think I just experience cold ground more than other people.
What if this is like the part of the makings of all human beings? Is that like as we are being crafted and created and all of our characteristics are being drawn from the ether, if every single person, there's like a bucket of like intolerances,
yeah,
and it's like, and it's not like intolerances like typical like allergies or like a medical type thing, it's like it is something that you are non-equipped to handle well. So like, yeah. maybe it's heat, maybe it's cold, maybe it's loud noises, maybe it's extremely soft noises.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
No idea.
But like, it's like every single person has to have like one of these ingrained into their person, and we just know what yours is.
We have found mine. I even think back, like if you were to, I told this to people when we used to go skiing all the time, and like it was finally justifiable to buy my own ski equipment.
Yes.
My favorite feature about my boots was how much warmer they were than like the rental boots.
I do remember you like bringing this up to the point where like, I think at some point in time in like very early Super Carlin Brothers, like somebody asked like, what was your favorite pair of shoes? And you said your ski boots.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't remember that. But like that, because like to me, one of the, like the, now, oh God, it's all like just like so many things are clicking together in my head. But like one of like the things I didn't like about skiing was how cold the boots were.
Yeah.
You know, like it was like, what? Like it's so fun to go down the hill, but my feet are frozen. It's like, I guess it just, but it's like one of those things. Well, of course that makes sense. You know, like you're in the snow. Of course it's cold. Just deal with it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I got good boots, and it definitely keeps the cold out better.
Right.
But it was so much better that it was like, this makes the entire trip like way better.
It's changed everything.
It's changed everything.
Wow.
Who knew? What do you know?
I know.
Foot warm. And this is from someone who I generally just like to be barefoot though. You know?
Yes, I know. Yeah. Like unlike me, who I feel like I normally get to like 10 p.m. at night and I'm still sitting in like my, like at some, Alice is like, Ben, it's 10 o'clock at night and you were in denim and shoes.
Yeah.
And honestly, it wouldn't even be that unlikely for me to be wearing my jacket.
You will wear a jacket around.
I will. I think what I do have a high tolerance to is just discomfort. like I think it, to the point where like, I think a lot of times it is like, Ben, you should have like left the uncomfort like a long time ago.
Right.
And you just stayed and mustered in it.
I know. Yeah. I do know what you mean. Or it's just like, you can get normal to, and you can normalize anything real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's just like, discomfort isn't a reason not to do it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yes, it's you know what it reminds me of is one of the girls I dated in high school who was the worst. And I know just that description alone. You know exactly who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
It's like the worst. She is the worst. I at this point, and it's hyperbole, but like
not that much.
It was like this person makes me miserable constantly, and like I cannot let her go. And it was like, why? It was like, you are not happy. Like look at the last 3 months. When was the last time you were happy? None.
It's
none
like,
times.
But if she would just stop being so terrible, it'd be great.
Yes.
And then I would be all the time happy.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yes. It is remarkable how the tiniest dose of kindness will like fill your cup when it's coming from one of these people.
Oh yes.
And you're just sort of like, you're like, oh, okay, you are a good person again. And then it's like just a whole string of bad things. And you're like,
exactly. Yes. This is the trap I feel like people fall into. If you're watching The Big Bang Theory.
You can
notice it when you watch it like really fast if you're like binging it, which I've only done once. But it's like the end of every season will almost always feature some version of Sheldon being exceptionally nice to another character, usually Penny, but any of the characters probably.
Right.
And it is so meaningful and it's so emotional. And you're like, wow, that is such tremendous growth. And you're like, yay, good for you, Sheldon. But then you're also like, wait a second. Like, I'm only proud of you now because you were a total jerk for 19 episodes in a row.
Right.
And now I'm like, I don't know if this is the same as overcoming all of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. And then, but the other problem too, is that the show kept being like picked up for another season. So yeah. It would be like, oh man, Sheldon grew. That's amazing. And then it'd be like new season. And it's like, well, we kind of need to backtrack
him. Reel so that do, back in.
So we can do the same bit at the end of this season again and rinse and repeat until you've got like 13 seasons in.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know how we got here. Cold feet.
I don't know. I know. Cold feet. People are like, hey, tell us about the tour.
Yeah.
Stop talking about your feet.
Sorry, guys.
The problem is, come on.
There's at least like one person who was like, no, I was kind of enjoying it.
I know. Yeah. This is how conversations naturally flow.
Right. They're like, I'm getting married next week. This totally makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
You get it.
I get it. Cause the cold feet joke. I know. This is the thing. It's like I feel like making these jokes, people are going to be like, oh, did you get cold feet before your wedding? It's like, I had literally no qualms.
You had hot
getting
feet.
Married. I was like, yeah, I feel like that's kind of like an inappropriate question to ask on people's wedding day. You're just like, oh, are you feeling any cold feet or anything? And just like, no. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm about as excited as I've ever been. What do you mean?
Yes, yeah. Today, the day that I commit to the rest of my life, like, is the day I should be like, indeed. Like, I'm unsure.
Yeah. Like, please don't even let that thought cross your mind. Like, your wedding day is about you and you should be as excited as you can be. It's an awesome day.
You know, I think more often than not, some of the most inappropriate questions come from a place of people literally not knowing what to ask or say otherwise. And
right.
So like these clicheisms pop up.
Yeah.
Like I do this to GMA member Mike's son, Noah, who is going to be 15 next month.
Wow.
And who every single time I have seen him, I've been like, how's school going? What do you want to be when you grow up? And
yeah.
I'm like, I know that I am asking you the questions that you probably are just like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And every
right.
time you ask me, it fills me with anxiety because I don't have an answer to it. And I feel like the fact that you're asking makes me feel like I should have an answer to it. And I don't.
Yeah. You're just like, but you're just trying to cast the widest net possible to get some sort of conversational friction moving.
And that's exactly
yeah.
it. But then I think a lot of times it can happen. Like, you know, if you know somebody in their like late 20s, it's like, oh, like going to be settling down soon. And it's like, dude, I'm trying my best over here.
Right.
You
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah. I only haven't because I'm not trying here. Right. You know, like,
right.
It's been very difficult and please stop asking. Okay.
Thumbs up.
Insecurity. Thank you for poking it. Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I had an awkward situation this past weekend.
Oh, laid on me.
Yeah, I was at Luke's basketball game watching him. It was good. It's so fun watching him progress. He took a nice shot this week. Almost went in. I was like, whoa, that was amazing.
It's gonna be like such a game changer.
I know.
I remember the ball going in and being like,
oh my gosh, I know. Like the day will come. I can't wait. It's gonna be great. But like at halftime, I went to the bathroom, and as I'm in there, I run into another dad who like 4 months ago I was at a fire pit with, and that was the first time I met him at the fire pit. But we, the little group we were chatting in ended up just talking for like the entire night for like 2 hours. You
oh
know?
Wow, yeah,
it was a very good little group. I was like, these are great people. You know, we should go golfing. It'll be fun.
Yeah,
and I do not know his name.
Oh no!
I every time I see him, I'll kind of give him like a little heads up because like, yeah. Hey, I remember you. We talked at the thing at one time, but this is the first time I've been like isolated, and it was very much like a, I don't know your name. This is I am happy to see you. I don't. It's really awkward.
It is. And so when you're like, guy, my
dude. How is it?
Or the classic, like, there he is.
Yeah.
And how's it going?
And he's like helping his son wash his hands. And I'm like, I got to get back out. Like, we're in the bathroom. So not really going to have a conversation in here.
It's not a conversation.
Not a conversational place.
Yeah.
But see ya.
See ya.
And then I'm like, he thinks I don't remember him at all. That's what it is. And it's like, that's not the case. I do remember you. I just don't remember your name. So, you know, my bad about that. I guess.
Yeah.
But it's been 4 months, you know, and we didn't exchange contact information or have come into contact with each other since then. So I'm sorry.
Quite frankly, it's kind of strange you're not wearing a name tag.
Yeah, right? Come on.
I don't even think this is a me problem anymore.
Come on. You know? Yeah. Where's your name tag? Dude.
Guy.
Pop.
Man.
actual friend whose name I don't know.
John, probably.
Yeah, John, probably. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that was my awkward situation.
I love it. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you handled it with gusto and grace.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, should we talk about what happened out on the road?
Yeah, on the road again.
Out on the range.
We were out on the road again.
We were.
Yeah, so as we said earlier, we just got back from our Southeast tour where we hit up cities including and extremely limited to Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Nashville.
Got it.
And I don't know what it is about the cadence of that particular order, but the way in which you say Tampa and then like a couple sentence or couple cities later say Atlanta. It sounds like you've said Atlanta twice.
Yes,
every
does.
Time
it does,
and the whole team has just been suffering with this sense.
Yes,
since yeah. doing it. Yeah. So you said, what was your word that you chose?
I said fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yes. F is for friends who do stuff together.
U is for you and me.
N is for anywhere, but especially Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Nashville.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
Nailed it.
Okay. We listened to that song in the van.
Dude, we listened to so many songs. Let me rattle off a few. Pink Pony Club. Espresso by Sabcarp, as I like to call her.
By Sabcarp.
Dude, what if Sabcarp, it can't be because of age reasons, but what if Sabcarp was Carp Girl?
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
If Sabcarp was Carp Girl?
There is nothing that would be better.
All we need is lots of people to message her and be like, are you Carp Girl? And she'll be like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, that would be so cool, though.
So, Espresso by Sabcarp.
By Sabcarp.
We listened to Hot to Go by Chaperone.
Yep, Chaperone.
Yeah, Chaperone.
Chaperone. Chapel Roan.
Yeah.
There's an Avril Lavigne song of which we listened to numerous occasions.
So yeah, lots of Avril Lavigne, definitely, which not complaining about. Every time Avril is on, I was like, yes, thank you. Excellent. Yeah. Good.
Okay, I'm trying to get the beat in my head. It's the one where she says Bimbox.
Bimbox?
Singing Radiohead at the top of our lungs with the bimbox blaring until the break of dawn. Maybe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something in there.
Yeah, look at you go.
I got it.
That's a vocal range.
There it is.
Anyway, this particular song, I used to love it because I was like, oh, bimbox. Like, what a fun way to pronounce boombox.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this like how Canadians say it? Because I'm pretty sure she's Canadian.
Yeah, she is.
And it's not.
It's not. It's just sort of like it makes the rhyme work or something.
I don't even know. Yeah. If anything, what I found was a couple of like 12-year-old forums, like discussions where people were sort of like, why does she do this? And other people were like, I don't know. And that was pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay. So we got Sabcarp, we got Chaperone, we got Avril,
we had T-Swift.
We had T-Swift, of course. We had Olivia Rodrigo and what, Mistake? Is that the one?
Olivia Rodrigo is the one who I have dubbed as being O-Rod. O-Rod.
O-Rod.
Trainwreck Core.
Trainwreck Core. Yes, that's exactly what she is.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can't tell, leave a guess who you think was running the Spotify down in the comments.
Oh man. I mean, it is really fun though. I mean, we certainly bop.
We got a lot of bops in there.
Oh, yeah. You want to know what else we tried to do is we went to a bar one night that had like one of those like jukeboxes where you could go up and it's like instead of like being like full of CDs, it's just full of like the entire library of music ever.
Yes.
And we were so excited because we were like, oh my gosh, we're gonna make this whole
the
bar.
The Touch Tunes.
The Touch Tunes.
Yeah.
We're gonna make the whole bar listen to like Tenacious D.
Yes, yeah.
And so like we like file it all up. And of course at this point in time it's like well past midnight. And we're all like about to fall asleep in our drinks.
When we say the whole bar, we mean like six other people.
Yeah.
But boy, were they gonna enjoy it. And were we gonna enjoy making them enjoy it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. And so we sit there and we're like waiting song after song after song and it never gets there.
I know.
And so all we can think at this point in time is that in the quiet of what was probably a 3 a.m. Tampa based bar were the sweet sounds of Jack Black singing Tribute.
I know. I think it was Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, like was I was it? Saying. Yeah, Jacksonville.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was Jacksonville. Yeah, so we loaded. We could only assume that the queue was very long already.
Yes.
Somehow, I don't know, because it didn't seem like there were people there to fill the queue.
It didn't seem that way.
Yeah. I don't know how TouchTunes works, if people can do it like from not at the bar or something.
Well, I believe that is exactly what we were finding, is that if you've got like the TouchTunes app or something, that you might be able to go and make a song play anywhere, regardless of where you are, which plants an interesting seed inside of our minds.
It does, Ben.
To the literal tune of the Pixar theory should be playing in as many bars that possess a TouchTunes machine as humanly possible.
We need to have like a popcorn culture organized live stream where as many people as possible open the TouchTunes app on their phone and pick the nearest TouchTunes location to them, and we all play the Pixar Theory song at the same time across the country.
It's the modern flash mob.
Exactly.
You know, and it's going to be like one of these things where it's like it would take so long for anybody to be like, what?
And because as we clearly learned on this trip, just because you choose to play it doesn't mean it'll play at that moment.
That's exactly right.
Right. Yeah. You're going to get queued up. But eventually people are going to be like, what on earth is this? Do you think we're in the TouchTunes library?
I have no idea.
Yeah, right, but that would be the other problem.
But if not, we could also think of like a different anthem to be like the anthem for the little kernels.
Something else could be the anthem. Yeah. We need like a popcorn culture, the one true popcorn culture song.
Should we just like, maybe we should compose a song.
We should compose a song.
Me and you. And then
me
we can,
and you, and then we'll the work, best people at music.
The best people at music.
Yeah.
how hard could it be?
How hard could it be to write a song, Ben?
And then do something with it.
Yeah.
Somebody did ask us while we were on tour. They were like, can you please record the Pixar Theory, like not in a ridiculously dubified way?
Oh, just like do it like Jay's version?
Just Jay's version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. That is what we should do.
Can we name it Jailer's version?
Jailer's version.
Jailer's version.
That would be tremendous.
Okay,
yeah.
speaking of Jay, there was another fun thing that happened while we were on tour, which is that sometimes people bring us fun things, which is always extremely exciting when we're doing like our meet and greet.
Yeah.
And this one lovely lady came through and she had like crocheted us our Patronuses.
Yes.
So there are these like absolutely beautiful like Festral and Scottish Terrier crocheted stuffies.
Yours was cooler than mine.
Dude, I wouldn't normally make a big deal out of it, but the execution of this Thestral with its like opposable wings and stuff, I mean, it is really cool.
They were both like as artistic as any crocheting I've ever seen.
Yes.
They were immaculate and perfect.
Yes, they were really good. But so then I got home and I've got this like, you know, box of the things that we collected while we were on tour. And when I set it down, Addie immediately spotted your Patronus.
Yes, of
and
course.
So she like immediately went over and claimed it and was so excited about it. And she's like, what's its name? And I was like, oh, that's Jay. And so now literally, I mean, and she it was amazing to me how I was like making it up on the spot, because I was just sort of like, it's Jay's, so JJ.
Yeah.
And now she's just immediately like, where's my JJ?
Yeah, she's just like immediately like, you said that's its name. Okay, its JJ thing, yeah. Got it.
Literally no questions asked.
Yeah, no questions asked. Didn't need a reason for why the name exists, just need to know what the name is.
Exactly. Yeah. Watch like 15 years from now when Addie like goes off to college and she's like listening to the pop because she misses me so much.
Because
and, you know, she's brought JJ with her and she's like, that's where the name came from.
That's right. It was just Uncle Jay. And then I realized you asked for a name, so I said another Jay and there you go.
There you go, JJ.
And I'll be like, that's my dog, by the way, Addie.
Addie.
I'd like it back, please. Okay. I would not. You could have it forever. I mean, not that I did not appreciate it. It was extremely great. But if Addie wants to play with it, it's hers.
Yes. No, I know. There is nothing cuter. Kids do this thing where they hug stuffed animals, and I think it is literally the entire point behind stuffed animals.
Yeah.
Like, It's just the cutest thing that can happen.
No, it's very nice.
Yeah. 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 Quite it's adorable. Like two puppies like wrestling or something. You know? It's just like they can't hurt each other. It's just cute.
On the other hand, it was Nick and Nate's birthday yesterday.
It was indeed. Happy birthday, Nick and Nate. Can't believe they're five.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe everything that's happened in the last 5 years. It has been outrageous.
Yes.
Time is so weird. It goes so slow and also so fast.
Especially when they were born in February of 2020.
I know. Gosh, right into the COVID.
Hopefully nothing bad happens immediately.
Immediately. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It did. Not to them, but just to the whole world.
Yeah, so, yeah. You're familiar.
You remember. You were there. Unless you weren't, in which case, you know, maybe you were born at the same time as them.
Right.
Yeah. But so that was exciting. We got them, their first bikes.
Oh, yeah. Bikes. That's always a good one.
It was fun. It was like, I've had like a different process with them. Cause like with Luke, he had like the little Strider bike that didn't have like the training wheels or any pedals at all. It was just like a balance bike.
Right.
And we went out and did that a bunch and then, you know, he kind of got the hang of it. And then sure enough, when we finally got him like a pedal bike, it took him like two or three tries and boom, he was off. He had it.
Okay.
I would say it totally worked, but I like unfortunately did not get around to doing the balance bike stuff with the twins as much.
It's okay.
It happens
to the best of us.
It does. Yes. Yeah. So when I was getting them their bikes yesterday, I just went for like bikes with training wheels on them.
Naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty good. But then it's so funny. Like I got them bikes and Luke was like, we have to go biking. And like, so of course we did because we wanted to try it out.
Naturally.
And Luke got out there and he's just like ripping laps around the parking lot we're at.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just going. And then I like Nick gets on his bike and he's excited to try it, but he's like, he hasn't like done it at all, you know?
Sure.
And it's like, you know, you think it's so weird the kind of things you have to like learn how to do. Cause you think like, oh, this bike can't fall over. All you gotta do is pedal. That's pretty much it. Bike drives itself.
Right.
Right. But it's like, he kept like trying to like rotate backwards, like he couldn't like figure out like push one side, push the next side.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah,
and so he kept
like
pushing it backwards, which is the brakes, and then the whole bike stops, and it was like super. And so he did it for like 10 minutes and got like frustrated and then stopped. And then Nate, he was just like, I just want to ride my scooter. It was like, oh, well, all right, I guess. We got you this brand new bike here. I mean, try this bike out.
There's a bow on it. You may not have noticed.
Yeah. Big balloons, stuff like that. Happy birthday. Got a bike here and he's like, I'm gonna ride my scooter. And I was like, all right, we'll try tomorrow. Cool. Good.
So, parenting win.
Parenting win. That was good. We also got them some like geodes to crack open.
Oh, that's which, always a good one.
Dude, I tell you what, don't skimp on the geodes. Kids will have the best time in the world cracking crystals out of rocks.
Yes. Because crystals are awesome.
Crystals are awesome. Like, I mean, and you'll have fun too. Like, Luke cracked one open. I mean, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. You know?
Were they colorful or just like white?
There was a variety. So some of them were white. One was like kind of like black and like blue tinted.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Yeah. Some of them you'd open and you'd be like, this is pretty. This is pathetic.
This is just the interior of a rock.
This is just the interior of a rock.
Which I guess, to be fair, the people who sell the geodes don't know if you're going to get it done.
That's true. They don't exactly know faux show what's going to be in there. But then, of course, I also got them a bunch of Beyblades as well.
Oh, naturally.
Yeah. And because there was like a big four pack of them. And there was like a lot. That's a lot of information for them to take in because they all have like their fun little names and
right,
stuff.
Yep.
And Nate, for the life of him, could not remember the dinosaur one, which was called Tyranno Beat. And he would come down, he would run downstairs and be like, Daddy, I forgot the name. What's it called? And I'd be like, Tyranno Beat. And he'd be like, Tyranno Beat. And he would be back 30 seconds later and be like, what's it called? I'd be like, Tyranno Beat. And he'd be like, yeah, beat. And I'd be like, yeah, like beat like a drum. And Nick would be like, oh, like beat him up. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Tyranno Beat. And he'd be back 1 minute later like, what's it called? Like, this information could not hold in his head at all.
Dude, that is the most relatable thing ever.
I know.
My gosh. Yeah, to bring it back to tour just for one hot second.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What are we even talking about?
Hey, who even knows? Today's just a skitter scattering mess.
There's no doubt.
Pop culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. I don't
know about you guys, but I like keeping my money where I can see it. Unfortunately, though, traditional big wireless carriers also seem to like keeping my money where they can see it, which I personally find to be totally uncool. So I switched to Mint Mobile. And my first worry was like, is this just too good to be true? $15 a month? But let me tell you what, we've been touring all over the country and put this plan through the ringer, pun intended, and I haven't been trapped in a closet full of chainsaws even one time. I'm not totally sure why, but it seems like that's where people in movies never have cell service. I'm assuming this is a common expression. Yes, right? And the other cool thing, though, is that you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So ditch your overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money and hate dark basements and thunderstorms, another place with no cell service, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent of $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
We do like the Jay versus Ben, live on stage.
Yes.
And so we do, we have like a tour long competition going on.
Yeah.
Where we literally this go round, we actually had like a score flipper. And yeah. So every night we would walk out and reveal what the current score tour long was.
Yes.
And this was like a very fun gimmick, because all of a sudden it was kind of like, oh, now every night once it's over, it's not over for the tour. Yeah. And dude, I swear, with the Jay versus Ben's, I've done these for so long now and I've lost just so many times that like I'm really callous like towards the situation. Like I feel like I can roll with it at this point. Like I'm used to losing.
Right.
There was something about doing it in front of a live audience where like all of the people were like looking up at me and they're like, "We believe in you." And I'm like, "Oh, no." It's like, "You shouldn't, cuz I don't know." Oh man, it was like I think I was doing the same thing. Like I started listening to the books at like 4x speed just so that I could literally be like pummeling as much information into my brain, like in between
as possible.
Stops.
Yeah.
And it was like, maybe I'll just glean something new.
Right.
Like, you know, just hammer it as fast as I can.
Right.
And be like, okay. Yes. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how when you're like trying to learn new trivia, it's like everything is trivia.
And yeah.
It's like, how am I going to remember all of it?
Right.
It's like, there's no way.
Well, you did. You won in, where'd you win? In Atlanta.
Oh, hey.
And we tied in Nashville.
There we go.
There you go.
So I ended reasonably well.
Yeah, you ended pretty good. Yeah. You keep your stride at that right at the end.
Right,
yeah.
Right at the end. But I think there was one night I only got 2 right.
Oh, well, yeah. Sorry.
Out of 10. That's a 20.
Or,
yeah. Let me check my math.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should check your math, Ben.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so yeah, there was that piece. What else you got from tour, Jay?
Oh, my gosh. We had like all these notes everywhere from like every single stop. There's probably too much to talk about one single pop here.
I'm certain that stories will continue to bleed out for weeks.
I'm sure they would.
Come.
Let's start with let's talk about Orlando, because a lot happened in Orlando.
Yes.
So the first thing was that we were driving from Charlotte. Orlando was the second stop on the tour.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. So like a 8-hour drive.
Yes. Yeah. With stops and all that. And it was a free day, as it were. It was mostly just a travel day to like just get to Orlando.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, dude, I've got to say, it's like, as much as we can call it like an air quotes, like free day, like not even being the person driving, because shout out to Ethan, the editor, who did all of the driving basically on tour.
Yeah.
It is like being in the car for that long beats you up.
It does. It is hard.
It's like, it is like weird how just like sitting all day will just like, yeah.
Yeah. Cause you'll just get stuck in like weird positions and you'll be like, you know, it's like if you did a stretch on one side of your body for like 4 hours, but yes. It was like you were barely stretching, but it turns out when you stand up, that means the other side of you is either like super tight, or the one side you did, you like overstretched, or it just, yeah, it'll just mess with you. You'll wake up the next day and be like, what, does my back hurt?
Yeah. Yeah. My spine feels like a question mark.
Yeah. 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 Sitting in the car always. Yeah. It can wreck you. On the last tour on the West Coast, I would just like stare down at my phone a lot, cause we had so much like, you know, time in the car.
Yeah.
And by the time we got to the last stop in LA, like my neck was just like super just messed up.
It was, yeah. Like we had to like switch where we sat on stage because you couldn't turn your head to the side to look at me.
Yes. Like normally I sit on this side of you and look to my right. And like I could not do that. So we had, yeah, you're right. We switched sides so that I could look to my left and continue doing the show.
Right.
But you were like digging your elbow into my back, like backstage, like 3 minutes before we went on.
Yes.
Like trying to massage out any possible pain.
Right.
And we made it through and it was fine. But yeah, I was like, so this time though, I was like, do not look down at your phone. So I would literally like rest the phone up here and sit like this for like hours or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Between stops. But anyway, it was just a travel day, so we wouldn't necessarily have anywhere to be, except that like 3 days before we left, we were like, hey, you know what? We should look up and find out if the Orlando Magic basketball team has a home game at night on January 12th. And wouldn't you know it, they did.
I know. It was like, well, then we're in.
We're going.
We shall be in attendance.
Not only that, but they were playing the Charlotte Hornets, which was hilarious because we were driving from Charlotte to Orlando.
Yes.
So
yes.
It was very perfect. And it was like, as long as we leave by this time of day, we'll get there in time.
Yeah.
And so that was like our goal, was to make it to the Magic game. And like, no shade at the Magic or the Hornets or anything, but they don't have like the best records this year.
Sure.
But that suited us just fine because it meant that the tickets were pretty cheap. And we were like, what, 16 rows back or something?
It was awesome.
We were like right behind the team.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, if somebody like whooshed their head enough, maybe we could have been spackled with some,
oh man,
some sweat or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. So
that's not true.
That's the dream.
We were not that close.
We were not that close. Yeah. But we had pretty good seats. And I mean, if you've never been to an NBA game, I would just go, because it's fun. Like, professional sporting events are always fun.
Yes, they have done a really great job at all these things of making sure you are entertained, even if it's just the kids singing from like the local choir on stage, or the guy who won the lottery to do the halftime shot, or the people doing performances. What, there's always something.
There's always something. And like, even if you don't have like a dog in the race at all, which in the, like, we certainly did not.
Yeah,
we were not, you know, rooting for the Magic or the Hornets per se. I was like, I guess the Magic, because that's the home team, and they did win. So
yeah,
yay,
go home team,
go home team. Yeah, but that was super fun. And then the next day we had the morning basically to ourselves, and then a show at night. So we had made plans for the morning as well, though, to head down to a store in Orlando called Pin HQ.
Dude, if you do any of the Disney pin trading, anything, even if you don't, like, it's awesome.
Yeah, like, you don't have to like pins to like this store.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you don't have to collect them to like this store. Well, I mean, we went in there. It's not even like I wouldn't say it's like a massive store or anything. It's not like warehouse sized or anything like that.
No. I mean, it really is probably like your classic outlet store.
Yeah.
Like build.
Yeah.
Like, I bet the front area was no more than like maybe like 1,500 square feet or so, 2,000 square feet.
Yeah. Nothing massive, but At last time when we were at Disney World, when we were doing like the trading at Epcot with like the people sitting at the pin store, like they all had these like really cool, like, you know, binders specifically made like for pin collecting or whatever.
Yep.
And we're just like, you know, they all seem to have like similar models, just sort of different shapes and stuff. And it's like, where do you get these? And they're like, oh, you got to go to Pin HQ. And we're like, where is that? And it's like, they're like, it's the store in Orlando. Like, you got to go check it out. That's where they sell the binders and, you know, they have lots of pins and stuff too. We were like, oh, okay. So we looked them up on Instagram, and they have a very good presence on Instagram where, like, the sisters who own the shop, like, make lots of fun content every day. Yes. And I was like, oh, man, well, if they're doing lots of, like, social media, we should, like, collaborate with them when we go down there.
Right.
So I reached out to the shop, and they were like, we'd love to work with you guys. And so we got there, like, maybe an hour or so before the store opened, I guess, maybe. Yep. We met Sydney and Julia, who are the sisters who run the shop with their parents and brother, who his, their brother is like up in North Carolina or something.
Yeah, it's
but they told us he, Alex, I want to say, was a Super Carlin Brothers fan.
It was so cool.
Yeah, I was like, what? No way.
Yes.
Yeah, they were all, I mean, super, super nice. If you're in Orlando and you like pins, you have to go check this place out. But we filmed a couple of reels with them while we were there.
Yeah, and it was really fun too, because they've got like, I mean, if I just had to throw a number out, like I would be willing to bet on display, not even counting like the tons and tons and tons of stuff that isn't like out on the floor.
Yeah.
I bet 80,000 pins.
I mean, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, pins don't take up a ton of space, and you can display a lot of them in a small area. And I mean, I've looked at every case at least once, and I don't actually think I took in maybe like half the pins.
Yeah, no, I know. You know? It was crazy. But so we picked a character, and Jay always collects the Plutos, of course.
Of course.
We gave ourselves 3 minutes to see who could collect the most Plutos the fastest. And it's so fun because you got these like little keys around your neck, and you go up to like each board and you can like open like the little lock, and you're just like, you know, this one, that one, this one, you know, slapping them on the board real quick.
It was super fun.
It was really fun.
It was very cool.
You won that one.
I won the Pluto one, but then we filmed a second one where we teamed up with the owners.
Yes.
And, you know, Ben and Julia took one half of the store, and me and Sydney took the other half of the store, and we were looking for Cinderella pins on round two, and they smoked us.
They were, I feel like they did a really nice job of being like, no, you guys did so great. Like, well done. And it was like, okay, guys, we just did the same experiment with y'all, and y'all found like twice as many.
Good at it.
But either way, the other really cool thing about it is that the little boards that they make, the two sisters actually patented when they were like 11 and 14 or something.
I know, like when they were like kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, that's amazing.
It's insane. Now they're like the standard for pin collecting.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's it's so neat.
Very cool. Very cool. So I was able to round off, the cool thing was too, that because they're such like a fixture in Orlando, it's like they have lots of really cool, like kind of rarer pins.
Yes.
So of course, like we're like, well, what's the most like valuable or rare Pluto pin you have. They pointed us to it, which was cool. And I think like in my mind, I was like, okay, like be prepared to spend some money today, because like, this is like, what's the point of coming to the pin store if you're not going to get like the pins. Right.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it was like it was an Epcot pin. And I guess they had at one point done like a different pin with a character for each country on the World Showcase.
Okay.
So it was a Germany pin. It had a big Pluto on it. He had a mustache.
Oh.
It was, I was like, well, this couldn't be better, really. Because even when we were at the World Showcase not 2 weeks ago, we went twice, and on both days I got a pretzel and a beer in Germany.
Nice.
Like I went back, I was like, I'm repeating that experience.
This is what I want.
This is what I want. So it was like, it was great. And the pin was one, it was a limited edition 1 out of 100. So there's only 99 other pins of this kind in existence, which pretty cool. And I think, it was like over $100, but I was like, we're getting this for sure.
So you got that.
I got it. Yeah.
It's on your board.
It's on my board at home. Like the board I have now is officially an overflow. Like we had to take off, like, I don't know, like probably like 13 or so pins just to like fit all the new ones on there.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was super fun. It would like created this weird mentality too, because like if you're at the parks and you find like any pin you don't have that's like your character, you're just like, yep, trade for it. No questions asked, you know. But then, when you're with the traders or whatever, it's sort of like you're a little bit more specific because it's like, well, I want to make sure that I'm not just trading for some very common looking thing. I want it to kind of be like a little bit harder to get, I guess. But then you're at the store and it's like finding the pins isn't the problem at all. Like you especially for a character like Pluto, like there, I mean, if they had 80,000 pins, there was probably 1,000 Pluto pins you could find just out on the floor.
Easily. Yeah. You know? Yeah. There, I mean, in sheer abundance, like you could have just spent unlimited amounts of money, basically.
You absolutely could have. But like, you don't want to do that. Obviously you don't want to spend unlimited money. But so then you, it's like more of a question of like, what are the best ones I can find? And every time you feel like, okay, I think I've got the right ones, it'd be like, oh, Jay, I found some Pluto ones over here. And you'd be like, oh no, this one's better. I want this one instead.
It's you know? Yes, you're absolutely like that. The mental hierarchy is unbelievable.
It was so weird because you're like, no matter what, you're gonna walk away with more Pluto pins, but like you're here and you feel like you have this like time lock to like, okay, we got to figure it out before we leave, and I don't want to squander this opportunity because it'll definitely be like at least a year before we're back.
Yes,
and it's like, I don't want to not get the best thing I could have gotten, but it's so hard to make sure because it's so hard to find everything you're looking for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But we ended up getting quite a few pins.
Yeah.
I got a Jasmine for Addy.
You did. You got a really cool like Wumbo Jasmine pin.
Yes. Oh, I was like, I think she's gonna want like a marquee one.
Yeah.
And so that's what I ended up with. And it was really. She was so excited when I got home.
That is like, awesome.
It made me so happy for her to like go through all the findings.
Yeah.
From the trip because she was just like, I can have it, and I'm like, it's yours.
It's yours.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know. We found some Lightning McQueen things for Nate, which was great. We got some aliens for Nick. We got some Stitch for Luke. We got some Daisy for Beth. It's like everyone's got like their little character now.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. The hunt is so alive.
The hunt is on.
Oh my gosh. And then speaking of, one of the other things we got to touch on, I feel like, is the hilariously, I think one of the pins that you were looking for that you couldn't find was something from the new Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Yes, yes.
And the kind of funny thing about that is it's a brand new ride at Disney World.
Yes.
And who is it? Nate?
Nate.
Nate wrote it.
Yeah, Nate. And that was like his favorite ride. He did it twice.
Right.
Yeah.
And so while we were there, you were asking like, do you have any pins from this particular ride? They're like, actually, because it's so new, they haven't made it like through circulation and people haven't like given up on them already.
Right. Yeah. Like everyone who has them just kept them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. But hilariously, Alice is back at Disney.
Yeah.
As we speak. Because the our poor wives, Beth and Alice, had what had to be the absolute worst time at home.
I know. We like the tour dates fell on the weirdest circumstances like ever, and like the whole time I just felt so bad for both of them because we're out like, oh, we're at Universal, we're going to the pin store, they're back at home just like not having it.
I kid you not, there was a snowstorm, an ice storm, a flood, a windstorm, in another snow event,
and that was just the weather.
Yes
That was just the weather, which was obviously bad, threatening power outages. I had tons of people texting about how their power was out. Fortunately, Beth's did not.
Yeah, my house did go down.
Your house went down. Okay, that's no good. That's no good. And then, so so bad weather also meant that then the kids were staying home.
Yep.
Because of snow days and such, which just makes it like harder because not only are they home, but like you can't go do anything because also the weather.
Right.
But then on top of that, even on the days where they might have gone to school, they didn't go to school because all four other members of my family while I was gone got the flu.
Like confirmed. Yeah.
Got the flu. And like even after I got home, Nick's fever still hadn't broken. I think Beth's only just broke this morning as I'm recording it.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's terrible weather. No one could leave the house because of either weather or sickness.
Right.
And like also, it's also like because of the sickness, it wasn't even like, oh, can other people come over and help?
Right.
You know, because you don't want them to get sick.
Yeah.
Or you can't even be like, can you just come take the kids for a while? Because the kids are sick. And it's just like, I felt so bad for Beth. She was so like isolated and trapped in just this like like situation for 11 days.
Yes. Yeah. And then on top of that, Alice's grandfather passed away the day after we left. And so it's like, you know, this is like somebody who's like a big fixture in like all of our, you know, annual holidays and family get togethers and stuff like this. And so it's like, she goes through this entire process. Like, you know, they have all of the related events and everything, like while I'm gone, she's hosting like 35 people at our house and like cooking the food for everybody to come over when the power goes out. So like all these people come into town and Alice is just sending me pictures with like candles lit everywhere because there is no power. She's like heating all the food on the grill outside.
Wow. Yeah. Making it work.
But yeah, just a absolutely absurd number of things were going on while we were gone. And so, yes, that was like one of those where you're like, you start to become very aware of just how difficult it is to go out and like do these things, not just for all the logistics and setting it up and going out and doing all the bits, but then the other piece on the home front side.
Yeah.
So huge shout out to Beth and Alice for making it through all of that.
I know. Yeah. We really can't even go out and do the stuff without them. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so yeah, to bring it back to the pins, she texted me like one day last week and she was like, can I go back to Disney? And I was just like, yes, you can. Like if that is what you want, you can go back to Disney. So I got home on Thursday night. We were together for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then this morning she was out the door on a flight and she'll be gone all week.
But she's going to look for a pin.
From Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Boom.
Yes. Boom. Exciting. There. That's full circle.
Yeah.
We made it.
Very cool. Very cool. Is she going to be doing like other pin trading? Do you think, is she looking for more Jasmine stuff or whatever?
I think she is.
Yeah.
Like it was like while we were packing, we got Addie down last night and she was like, okay, where's the pins? And so she had like her like whole setup.
Oh, good.
One of the things we brought back from Pin HQ, she brought like one of like the purses with her.
So good.
All decked out. And yeah, so I think she's going to do it, but I'm so ridiculously curious to see like Alice, I think is like a very, like stop and smell the roses kind of person.
Yeah.
Like she's not like a super high octane, like go, 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 like heavily regimented. Like she just is like perfectly at peace, just sort of like wandering.
Yeah.
And just sort of like taking in the sights and sounds.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you're in, cause she's never done a trip like this before. She's fully left to her own devices to just like,
yeah, I'm so curious too. Cause like I like, last year when we were in Disney, like before we went to the cruise and we just had like a day or two at Disney World.
Yep.
I had like a night where I was just like alone in the parks by myself.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is a very different experience where it's like, what do I do if no one else is like weighing in on or telling me what to do?
Yes.
Like where do my feet take me? And it's like it is like uniquely liberating.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, what would I do? Because like a lot of times I feel like that you have so many pressures coming at you and everyone has so many pressures coming at them that you just like, it becomes this like amalgamous, like what's the group consensus, lowest common denominator answer to everything.
You end up, yeah, there is like a bizarre bottleneck situation where it's almost like everybody's kind of compromising sometimes and you're sort of like, who is the most happy with the decision? Or was it like, well, so-and-so doesn't want like this kind of cuisine, so like, let's not go there. This place has a wait that's too long. These people can't seat a group of this size. You know, so like what you end up with is sort of like, this place ticks all the boxes, like, but was it anyone's first choice?
Right, right. Yeah. So yeah, you all those things can happen all day long. But yeah, what do you do when you're just completely by yourself, you know? And especially at like somewhere like Disney.
Right.
You know, like, you know, she'll have Sammy with her, right?
Yes.
At the very least. Her sister's with her, not entirely alone. But yeah, I'm very curious to see how the trip goes with just the two of them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, part of me thinks she's going to go and just go like full ham and she's going to be like, I got so much done. And
I got so, yeah, right.
She's going to have like a whole new like perspective on what it means to go to Disney. And she, I if anything, she's just like, I don't want to go with you guys. Like yeah, right. Having this big group weighs everybody down. Like,
I know.
I got so much done.
It's such a different kind of trip. I know. Because like you and me have been at the parks by ourselves a few times when we've like gone to work with Disney for different like projects and stuff, but like even then you've got like some timetables that you're working on and there's this like overarching expectation that you're doing influencer sort of things.
Yeah, like you should be sharing your experience,
yeah,
in some capacity, which honestly I mean it, like they're not crazy strict about like what to share, but no. Like the fact that you're there, and then there's also like the layer of like we want to be invited back.
And that's the other layer. Yeah. You're like, well, like we're here right now. It's like no one's making you do anything, and it's like, yeah, but if you don't, are they going to bring you back?
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to just keep giving you like you know,
free passes free for no reason.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So you gotta hopefully you're doing a good job and standing out amongst the other creators. You know?
Yeah. Okay, Jay, so before we close out, because I feel like we have managed to already just talk for
I know,
hour,
I'm like, how are we talking about an hour? We're only on Orlando here, yeah.
We've barely even touched our notes.
Yeah.
however, one of the things I do want to talk about is the guest books.
The guest book, yeah, okay.
This was like a new thing. I feel like each tour we end up finding something new to add to the show, even though we're never really specifically trying to add something new, but like it finds us.
The show discovers itself.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. And that's how you know it's right, because it's just sort of like no questions asked. We're doing this.
We're doing it.
And the best part is like when we're doing something on stage and the rest of our team is like, we don't even know what they're doing. Like,
yeah. What's this now?
Yeah. Huh? So we get there and there's like one night where normally the crew will go out and they're going to do like their performance through the Griffin before we go out on stage, and so they're kind of doing their thing, and because we had the Big J versus Ben concept going on throughout the whole show and we wanted to have like our scoreboard, we needed a way to have like a reveal for the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And so in my head I was like, oh, we could get like a basket or something, which thank goodness we didn't.
I know.
You know. But like a thing to put over it. So right. Like when we get out there, we can like announce like, okay, like you have we have the competition that's going on tour wide, you know, like you need to know like where we're currently at with the scores, and then you could like lift the thing and it's like, haha, reveal. And so we're getting ready to go out there and we have not solved this problem yet. Of course, we also haven't introduced the scoreboard either.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all brand new. It's okay. Hashtag Jay yawns.
I know. I yawn a lot. Someone asked me that on tour. Like, why do you yawn so much when you're recording?
Like, because Ben's boring.
Wow. Thank you, audience member. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah.
The answer is because you talk. So like when you're podcasting, you talk a lot and a little bit louder than you normally would, and for normally longer amounts of time than you would normally talk in a conversation. And I run out of oxygen, and that's what makes you yawn, and so that's why. Anyway,
so you've spoken, and then there's a lull in your brain, sort of like, oh, use that opportunity to refresh my oxygen.
Right, exactly. Anyway, we needed a way to reveal the score for the J vs. Ben on stage.
Right, and at this particular show, I think it was in Orlando, so it must have been our second one, because the first night we didn't need a way to reveal what the scores were at, because it was all brand new.
Right.
So the team is out there. We're looking around. Our green room on this particular occasion was an abandoned axe throwing place.
Yes. I want to say it was half axe throwing, half glass blowing.
Yes.
Yes. And by abandoned, I mean just like, well, so whenever you go to it, like the different venues, like they will typically have what's called the green room, which is just where you will hang out before you go on stage. Like you need a place to be, because chances are people are there to like see you, and you can't be wandering around the venue because they're going to like swarm you and, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
So not that we're like that famous or anything, but like you need a place to be, to put your stuff, to be like waiting to go on stage.
Right.
And stuff like that. This place in Orlando, which was all ultimately a very good show and a very good crowd, and it was super fun. They didn't seem to have that. It didn't seem. And we were like asking them, and they're like, let's figure this out on the fly. We really don't want to figure it out on the fly, but let me make some phone calls. And it seemed like what they did was contact the guy who owned the building next door that was abandoned and
yes.
see if they could unlock it and let us stay in there.
Which they did.
Which yeah. they did. Yes. Yeah.
So we got to go over there. So we're frantically looking around, and honestly, there's a whole bunch of random trash and stuff, you know, little bits and bobs, which ended up working out perfectly for us because we found this Corona box. It was pretty cool,
pretty good,
and it fit perfectly
over the score.
Yeah And so we're like, oh, this is great,
this is it. Yeah, everyone else is out on doing the stage and Ben just finds, he's like, what about this? And then of course it had a bunch of like flaps, as cardboard boxes do.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, can we, you know, we don't want the flaps. Can we like tape them down or something? And we look around and sure enough, there's some tape in the room. Some disposed of tape.
Some literal duct tape. So it's not like duct tape, like your silver stuff that you can like tear real easy. It's like foil tape that you would literally put around like duct work.
Yeah.
And so we nabbed some of that.
You nabbed some of that, wrapped it around the box in not neat fashion.
Yeah,
I would say we tried to be neat about it, but we weren't.
It probably took us like 11 seconds.
Yeah, like 11 seconds. Yeah, made a bridge. Took me like 11 seconds.
Yeah.
12 tops.
So then we write, I was trying to write an ugly box, but it really ended up reading more as a nugly box.
A nugly box. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fun gimmick is that if you get to ask us one of the questions while we're on tour, then you get to sign the nugly box.
Right. So the it's like a record of everyone who asked us questions.
I know, which is pretty amazing. And we brought it home. It's here in the office with us and I'm very excited about it.
Yes.
But then I was sort of like, man, this seems like a fun idea. Like maybe we should have like a guest book, you know, that people can then sign.
Can sign, yeah.
Yeah.
Like at a wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, then I'm looking for more trash, you know.
Yeah, now I'm like, now I'm on the hunt.
Yeah. It's like, this is what a fun game.
Right.
And so I'm digging around and I find this just like 2x4, you know, just like a board.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of like, oh, this would be great. You know, like who needs this 2x4? It's just like over here. You know, like lean against like some other crap.
Right.
And so I like write on it in like big letters, you know, like through the Griffin Tour, Orlando, like with the date and everything. And like I walk out, I'm telling the whole story and I'm so excited about how I want everybody to sign it and stuff. And the guy who owns the venue comes like sprinting through the crowd. He's like doing like the like, you know, cut it, like a thing. Right. And it's like, yeah, apparently this is like the world's most important 2x4.
Yeah, he's like, I need that 2x4.
Yeah, and apparently it was cut to like a specific length and it like fits behind some subwoofers that prevent the stage from vibrating into oblivion or something.
I bet it was not cut to a specific length. I bet he found it and it was perfect and he was like, this is amazing. I love this piece of wood.
Yeah, well, so anyway, now it has with my handwriting on it, you know, like a big like through the Griffin Tour thing. So anyway, then we ended up finding a different piece of trash, a pizza box.
Yeah, a pizza box. An unused one.
Yeah, yeah. Which we passed around the room.
Yep.
And everybody signed it for us. It was really delightful.
They sure did.
And so then, you know, like as we start moving forward, I start to realize like, okay, I need to ask the venues before I do this because I thought for sure that board was going to be no issues.
Yeah, you thought the 2x4 would be no issue. Yeah. But turns out it was important.
So then we get to fast forwarding to like Atlanta, I think. And, you know, we're talking to the venue owner and he was, you know, super, super nice, incredibly helpful. And he's like, is there anything else I can do for you guys? And I was like, I've got a weird
one. Got a weird one.
I'm like, do you by chance have a piece of trash?
Have some trash that we could use as our guest book.
Right. And his eyes lit.
He was like,
I think I got just the thing.
Yeah.
Just the thing. So he disappears. He comes back. And what he has found is it has got the most bizarro story behind it.
It does.
It is a hoverboard.
A hoverboard.
That once belonged to child actor Corey Feldman.
Yes.
Who apparently does, he was in The Goonies and Stand By Me.
Yes.
And I don't know what else he has done in life. But
Some other 80s movies stuff.
Yes.
I didn't know who he was. He was like, you guys know Corey Feldman? And we were kind of like, yeah.
Well, then I looked him up and I was sort of like, okay, I know of this person. Yeah. But anyway, so he does some type of stage performance, and somewhere along the way, he had this very viral video because he was on the hoverboard on stage, fell, and apparently like knocked out his teeth.
Yeah.
Then had like fans come up on stage to try to help him find the teeth. And anyway, we have his hoverboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently he got to the next location on his tour, which was Atlanta, where we were then.
Yep.
And he decided that maybe he was going to drop the hoverboard act, probably because of the tooth losing incident. I have to guess
that was it. Yeah.
Left the hoverboard behind, and they've just had it ever since. And they were like, well, we don't want it. So if you want to use this as your guest book, you can take it. So that's exactly what we did. We cleaned it up real good. And Corey Feldman's hoverboard became the guest book for Atlanta.
Yes, yes. And it looks amazing.
It does.
I don't think I've ever been so happy with anything in my entire life.
I know.
It was sort of like, and by the time the night was done, we were like writing on it in these like cool, like paint pens.
Yeah, paint pens.
It looked amazing.
It looks so cool. It looks so cool.
Oh, man. So if you do have the opportunity to come see us in future installments, look forward to whatever we found for that night's
guest book. Yeah, because rest assured, we just found it laying around the venue.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Ask permission. Definitely didn't steal it.
Yeah, we didn't steal anything.
We didn't steal it.
Yeah. No, it was all good. Yeah,
we almost stole a 2x4 once. Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but if you ever end up going to that venue in Orlando,
I think that was in Tampa.
In Tampa, right. In Tampa. If you ever end up going there, then you can maybe experience the greatness.
Maybe you'll see it.
The sacred 2x4.
Yeah, yeah. Where was it? Had a bunch of globes everywhere. I can't remember the name of the venue.
Yeah, me either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in Tampa, maybe you know of it. Also, while we're talking about Tampa, we'll just give a light shout out to Naomi and Natalie,
who were
just the most excited fans.
They truly were.
They were.
It was so exciting as well because we had our younger brother Tyler out, and he was doing some tour things with us, which was really fun.
It was really fun, yeah.
And so he went out to sort of get everybody hyped and was like on stage kind of doing this like conductor thing where he would like have like different corners of the audience like sort of like cheer, and then he would like silence them, and then like the next one would cheer and like go back and forth. And then he brought Naomi and Natalie up on stage, and then they did it.
Yeah.
Which was just, I mean, truly, honestly, the cutest, most adorable thing that probably happened all of tour.
It was, because they were like, I don't know, like what, like 8 and 12 or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they were just, it was very cute.
10 and 14?
Something, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm using my best ballpark here.
Okay. But they also listened to the pop. So if you're listening right now, what's up? Thanks for helping us hype the crowd.
Thank you guys for being there.
Yeah.
But Jay, I think otherwise that probably rounds us off.
That probably rounds it off. I suspect we will be talking about more stories from the road as we move forward. We didn't even talk about the peanut butter jelly beer, Ben.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to leave the people wanting more.
I know. Yeah.
Like next week, they're going to be like, I have to know.
Tell me about it.
What is peanut butter and jelly beer? Is it good?
Is it good?
Should I look for it?
Well, I will tell you nothing else about it.
Ha ha. Until next time. If you guys would like to support the show, you can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture, or, you know, just keep your eye and ears out for future tours, because they are coming. And you can come and see us IRL and sign the guest book and be a part of Jay versus Ben and maybe help us vamp on stage. It's all really fun stuff.
It is. It's super fun. It's super fun.
Yeah. But otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.